Happy Easter. He is risen and Jesus is alive forevermore. Today we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is risen. Hallelujah. Jesus died on the cross, but he rose from the grave and he's alive forevermore. And he's here with us now. The resurrection of Christ gives us the sure hope of resurrection, a living joy, a living hope that helps us to overcome every trial with great joy and with the patience and peace that he gives us. And on this Easter morning, I want to encourage you all to be filled with living hope, the hope of the resurrection in Christ. And at the cross, our Lord Jesus gave his life so that we might receive forgiveness of sins. So for all who accept Christ, the barrier of sin which separated us from God is removed, and we are able to reach to the Lord and he come together in harmony with him. The death of Jesus on the cross is absolutely central to our faith, for without it there is no forgiveness of sins and no possibility of reconciliation with the Lord our God. But perhaps even more than the death of Christ, it's the resurrection that speaks most clearly about the promise of eternal life for all who trust in him. In his letter to the Romans, Paul explained that in baptism you are united with Christ in his death. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, Paul says, "If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will also be united with him in his resurrection." The promise is sure. The promise is wonderful. And it's a blessing to us to be united with our Lord Jesus in his resurrection, to be with him forever in heaven. But when Jesus was ministering to the people in Israel 2,000 years ago, very few people understood that Jesus was God himself come to give his life as a ransom for ours. Jesus' followers, they listened to his teaching. They watched as he did miracles of every kind. And they knew that he was the Messiah, the one who was to come, Savior of Israel. But their idea of a Messiah was often quite different than what Jesus planned to achieve for all the people of the world. Their hearts had hope, but it was mostly an earthly hope before Jesus went to the cross, because they were looking, many of them, for an earthly political Messiah who would free Israel from Roman rule. Still, they were excited at the things that were happening. Can you imagine the joy and excitement when Jesus turned water into wine, or when Jesus healed the lepers or opened the eyes of the blind or fed 5,000 with only a few loaves of bread and fish? Or when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, these powerful miracles certainly filled the disciples with joy and excitement. Yet, because they had focused on an earthly salvation and an earthly hope, when Jesus went to the cross, all of that excitement was turned to sorrow as they saw Jesus arrested and nailed to the cross, and the sight of Jesus dying must have destroyed their hope and cut to the center of their hearts, leaving them feeling weak and helpless. The hours of suffering that Jesus endured before he breathed his last must have seemed like an eternity right there to the disciples. And when Jesus finally did die, the hope the disciples had known while Jesus was alive was extinguished. Jesus had told them in advance that he would die for them, but they had not understood. They had not understood, and so they were shocked and dismayed when Jesus died and was placed in the grave, which had been provided for him from an unexpected source, a wealthy man named Joseph of Arimathea. Offered his own tomb, and he placed the body of Jesus in it with his own hands. Jesus was dead and buried, and a huge stone was rolled over the entrance to the tomb. It was sealed with the seal of the Roman government to make sure that no one could disturb the tomb, and a Roman guard was posted to guard the tomb. When Jesus was with them, the disciples experienced wonderful hope and great joy. But now, with Jesus dead and buried, their hope was destroyed, buried with Jesus. You see, the joy and hope of the disciples was not in the teachings of Jesus. It was not in the miracles of Jesus. Their joy and hope was in Christ himself. And when he was gone, they lost that joy. They lost that hope. But in fact, this is the way it has always been with the Christian faith. Our faith does not lie in a system of religious teaching or in a set of philosophical principles or in some kind of works that we do. Our faith, our hope, our joy are in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there is no Christian faith. And this is the way it was with the disciples 2,000 years ago, and it's the same with us today. Without a living Jesus, there is no Christian faith. So when Jesus was killed, those first disciples, their faith, their hope, their joy died with Christ. But on the morning of the third day, the tomb was found open and the body of Jesus was gone. And then the disciples, first the women, Mary and the others, and then the rest of the disciples, they met Jesus alive, resurrected from the dead. And with that resurrection, all of their hope and joy was restored as they realized that Jesus is alive, alive forevermore, and eternally with us through his Spirit, even now here in this place. Jesus is here now with us. And we have great joy, great hope, because we know our Lord is alive. Since the time of the resurrection and close after that, a simple bare cross has often been used by Christians to express their faith as a symbol. And the cross itself reminds us of Jesus' suffering and death in payment for our sins. But because the cross is bare, we are also reminded of the resurrection. Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the grave. He rose and he's alive forevermore. And this is what Easter is about. The renewal of our faith, of our hope and joy in Jesus. We celebrate his resurrection. Alive forevermore and with us even now. Our faith, hope, and joy are unending because Jesus is eternal. And he is always with us. The Apostle Peter, in his letter to the saints who were scattered after the church was persecuted, he wrote of these things. And let's open our Bibles and take a look at what he has to say to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. This powerful passage of Scripture resounds with joy and hope. And I especially like this part in verses 3 and 4. It says, in His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. God, in His great mercy and His love, has given us new birth through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are born again into new hope, a hope that is alive because Jesus is alive. We are born into the family of God, and we are made to be the adopted children of God, and we are given an inheritance kept in heaven, safe for us. In this world, we often experience loss. The things of this world fade, spoil, or perish with the passing of time. Nothing that belongs to this physical world is permanent. It all wears out, gets old, fades away. But if our joy in Christ was a joy of this world, we would lose our joy over time. It would be spoiled by the terrible things that happen. But our hope and our joy are not of this world. They are heavenly, even as Christ is in heaven. Our hope, our joy, our treasure are in our relationship with the Lord Jesus and in heaven itself. I'm so happy my inheritance is not of this world. My inheritance in Christ Jesus is in heaven, kept safe for me, where it will never perish, spoil, or fade, where it cannot be lost or stolen. In heaven, because that is my true home, my Father's house. Where is your true home? Where is your treasure, your inheritance? Is it safe? Is it in heaven with our Lord? Our earthly homes, our families are important. But for all who place their faith in Jesus, our true and eternal home, our citizenship is in heaven. The resurrection of Jesus filled the disciples with a living hope. It gave them new joy and confidence. It gave them power. They knew they were children of God, born again, adopted into His family. And they were filled with a deep desire to draw near to Christ and to be like Him and to spread the good news of the resurrection throughout the world. They wanted to be like Jesus in every way. They wanted to experience the things that Jesus had known so they might identify with Jesus and know Him better and be drawn closer to Him. In this desire to be like Jesus, the early disciples, the early church, embraced suffering as well. They wanted to be like Jesus in His suffering as well, because that was an important part of His life. Consider what Paul wrote to the Philippian church. Chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. The first half of that is easy. The second half may seem a little different to some people, but the early church, they embraced suffering because it was part of what Christ embraced. The Apostle Paul was not afraid of trials and sufferings, and he had many. On the contrary, Paul welcomed such challenges with joy. Paul was happy to suffer because Jesus had suffered. And Paul was not alone in welcoming suffering and considering it as a fellowship with the Lord Jesus. In fact, this attitude is one of the trademarks of the early church, to embrace persecution and suffering. Whether beaten or stoned or imprisoned or thrown to the lions, the early church welcomed opportunities to suffer like Jesus and to identify with Christ in suffering. In our study of Acts that we're going through in our regular message, today we're stepping back from Acts to do a special Easter message, but in Acts, before we finish Acts 5, we will see how the apostles are flogged by the soldiers of the Sanhedrin. They're beaten. And we will see their response in Acts 5, verse 41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Christ. They rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer disgrace and beating for the name of Christ. That's an attitude that we can learn from. We are often dismayed when somebody criticizes us in some way. They rejoiced in being beaten and disgraced because it drew them into closer fellowship with Christ. Now, don't misunderstand. They didn't seek out suffering. They didn't beat themselves or something like that. They didn't deliberately cause their own suffering. There's something wrong with seeking out suffering or causing your own suffering. That's not normal. But when suffering came because they were preaching Christ, they embraced it and did not complain. It's interesting, really, that even today around the world, in places where Christians suffer great persecution, still today, Christians suffering great persecution rarely pray to be released from suffering. They don't pray to be released from suffering because Jesus did not try to escape suffering. But when suffering comes, instead of complaining, they pray joyfully that the Lord would use the suffering to help them to know Jesus better, to have closer fellowship with Him, suffering as He suffered. And they have hope in the midst of that suffering that it will be a great witness to those around them to bring many others to Christ. Suffering and trials are actually a very normal part of the Christian life. And they are of great value for our faith. Right here at OIC, all of us suffer in various ways. It may not be as severe as the suffering of the early church, but we suffer. We have problems and illnesses and sicknesses and struggles with relationships, and we get criticized, sometimes criticized for our faith. But all too often, instead of counting our trials and suffering as joy, we complain and we wonder why God would allow us to suffer. And yet, in the person of Jesus Christ, God Himself suffered far more on the cross than we will ever suffer. And today also, I'm convinced that the Lord feels every pain that we feel. He is present with us and He suffers with us as we suffer. We, starting with me, we do well to stop complaining about our various trials and to start recognizing them as chances to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ through identifying Him with Him in suffering also. It's an opportunity to join in the fellowship of suffering with Christ In this world, we will have trials, tribulations, we will suffer. So we might as well learn to rejoice in them. Because they're going to be there anyway, so we might as well say, well, praise the Lord. But our trials do not continue forever. In 1 Peter 1:6, he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Our trials and sufferings are for but a brief time, just a little while. But we should not despise struggles, trials, sufferings. We should not despise them, but instead we should follow Paul's example in welcoming the opportunity to draw closer to Jesus in the fellowship of suffering. Consider for a moment the process of refining gold. When gold is found, it may be in several forms, but the most prized is probably the gold nugget. So I've got a photo of a large gold nugget found in Alaska. We know it's very valuable, but the fact is it just doesn't really even look much like gold. The nugget is large, but it's not pure. It's filled with impurities that take away its beauty. And its true value does not become obvious until it's refined. And so the nugget is melted and placed in the fiery furnace where all the impurities are refined away until only pure gold remains. The furnace is hot. If the gold were alive, I am sure it would feel pain and suffering in being treated this way in the process of purification. But the end result is worth it. The end result is pure gold, refined and proven, beautiful and of great value, brilliant, shining in the light in the way that would never have been possible without the fiery furnace. Now let's go back and remember what we read in 1 Peter 1:7, where one key purpose of sufferings and trials is explained. These, the trials, the suffering, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. In trials, in suffering, our faith is proved genuine. Not to God, for God already knows our hearts. He already knows exactly where we're really at. But in struggles and trials, our faith is proved genuine to ourselves and to those around us. We don't find out how much we really trust the Lord until we cling to Him through trials and sufferings. And then we discover whether we've truly trusted in Him or whether we were playing a game. Because it's through trials and suffering that our faith is proved genuine and that it shows its beauty and it shines forth like pure gold when we joyfully embrace the fellowship of suffering because it draws us closer to Jesus. Are you suffering some kind of fiery trial this morning? Do not despise suffering, but take joy in knowing that you're being refined like gold and your faith will shine forth as pure gold and the brilliant hope and joy will draw many to Jesus if you just cling to Him and trust in Him and rejoice in the fellowship of suffering as He suffered. The joy of knowing Jesus and the hope that we have in His resurrection cannot be destroyed by earthly trials. Our faith is genuine. We've truly trusted Him. The earthly trials and struggles we come to will not destroy our faith. Instead, it will strengthen us and draw us nearer to the heart of Jesus and take us to our heavenly home with joy. Peter knew about this when he wrote in 1 Peter 1:8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you haven't seen Jesus with your eyes, at least most of us have, maybe somebody saw a vision, but most of us have never seen Jesus with our eyes, yet though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Today we're celebrating Easter and the anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and our hearts overflow with inexpressible joy of knowing Jesus. But before Jesus could rise from the dead, he first had to die on the cross. In a similar way, sometimes we also need to undergo some fiery trials for the proof of our faith, for helping us to know Jesus better. Rejoice. Rejoice in the resurrection of Christ. Rejoice in your adoption as sons and daughters of heaven. But don't despise trials or struggles. Don't despise suffering. It's of great value in proving your faith. It's of great value in helping us to draw near to Jesus. And although it may be painful, it lasts only a short time. And then we will have all eternity to enjoy our inheritance with Christ in heaven. It's my prayer that each and every one of us today would understand the good news of Jesus Christ, and that we would draw close to him, that we would be filled with living hope that doesn't just depend on the circumstance around us at the moment, but living hope that overcomes trials and struggles with joy because it draws us close to Jesus and binds him together with him. Strength to overcome every trial, knowing that Jesus is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, loving Lord, your creator of the heavens and the earth, God above all, all-powerful, all-knowing, wonderful Savior. It's amazing that you love us so much, that you care for each and every one. You love the one who's struggling in terrible trials. You love the one who's relaxing in a comfortable chair. You love each and every one. And you have provided for our greatest need, forgiveness of sins, restoration of our relationship with you. You provided victory over death. You provided victory over every trial and suffering, making it a blessing to enter into the fellowship of suffering as Christ suffered, so that we might have joy in every circumstance. Lord, this morning, I pray that each and every one of us would open our hearts wide to you. We confess we are sinners. We fall short in many ways. We say things we should not say. We fail to say the necessary word. We do wrong, doing things that should not be done. And we fail to do the good things that should be done. We have sinned, and we are sinners. Desperately in need of your mercy and grace every day, every hour. But we rejoice and we have peace because you have provided, through the death of Jesus on the cross, a way of salvation, a certain forgiveness of sins, a sure promise of resurrection, a new relationship, restored relationship with you. Help us each and every one to turn to Jesus, to trust in Him, to place our faith and hope in His work on the cross and His resurrection. Help us to walk in confidence, knowing your love. Pour out your Spirit on your people. We might be filled with your Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, the gifts of the Spirit for ministry, to share this love with our family, friends, and neighbors. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Happy Easter. God bless you.